Sorry for all the announcements. It took a long time. Proverbs 27, the most important part is the Word of God. We're going to read some verses here out of Proverbs 7. We're going to 27. Proverbs 27. We're going to talk about the great blessing of friendship. The great blessing of friendship. Proverbs 27. I'm going to read several verses out of Proverbs about friendship. The Bible has a lot to say about it. It's an important subject. Proverbs 27. I'm going to start at verse 5. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. It's a very important verse there. A friend may wound you. They may tell you something you don't want to hear. And an enemy might kiss you, but they're deceitful kisses. But a friend's will tell you the truth. A friend will rebuke you. Open rebuke is better than secret love. A friend tells their friend the truth, and faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother afar off. So a lot of things about friends here. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Thine own friend and a father's friend don't forsake. It's like perfume and ointment. It rejoices you. In verse 9, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. A man's friend will refresh you and be a blessing to you. Down to verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. They cheer you up. They make you feel better. They sharpen you. And then back to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loveth at all times. Proverbs 18, verse 24. Proverbs 18:24. A wise man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The greatness of friendship. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll talk about that. Our Lord, thank you for the chance to be together. We thank you for everyone who's come. Thank you for the name of Jesus, our Lord, whose banner we meet under, Father. Thank you for all the friends who came today, Lord, and all the people who brought their friends and invited their friends. And we just pray you bless all of them this afternoon and help them have a great day. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us. Lord, I pray everybody here would come to know Jesus Christ as the best friend they'd ever have in a personal and real way, not as a distant God, but as a best friend. I pray that each one of us would know that in a new and powerful way, and you'd speak to us about friendship in general, what to do with it, and we'd have wisdom to know what to do in friendship and how to handle it, and then that we'd be drawn near to you. May your Spirit speak to each person, silence their mind and all the cares that we have, and may we just focus on you and on what your Word says. Give me power and speak through me, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can see the importance and the power and the depth of friendship in the verses we just read. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, if your brother is your friend, they might stick as close. But actually, the bond of friendship, a friend will stick closer. A brother who's a friend will stick even closer than just a friend, but a friend will stick closer than a relative. Many of you have found that out. You have relatives who have not been there for you when you needed them, who didn't stick with you, who are only there when they need something, and all those things that we've all seen. But a true friend is not like that, and biblical friendship in the way it says. Now, there's a lot of people who are out there who are people who know you, people who you have acquaintance with, people who say they're friends with you, but you find that true friendship is a very deep relationship, and it has a huge impact on you, and people will die for their friends. And friendship is very important. Your friends can save your life or ruin your life. Your friends can save your life or ruin your life. I have found people in our society and in counseling and even in this week talking to people and people who are suicidal or have tried or to commit suicide. And I realized very quickly that one of the things you're going to have is a friend. And a lot of times they're that way because they're the people that they thought were friends weren't. The people that they thought were friends weren't. And when they find a real friend, many times that it can change your life and save your life, it also ruin your life. When I grew up, all the bad things I did, and I did a lot of bad things as a kid, I can trace them back to the friend who started me on them. Every single bad thing I did in my life, I was going through cataloging that this week, and I was thinking, okay, let's look back and when I started drinking alcohol, and it was a friend. When I started chewing tobacco, it was a friend. Everything that I did bad, everything that I got in trouble with, every time I got in legal trouble, it was with one of those friends. And I had bad friends around me when I was a kid. I'll never forget, my brother told me one time, he said, "You never guess who I saw get arrested on cops." One of our friends. Watch him get arrested on cops. I went to jail to preach in jail after I'd become a Christian. And went into jail and was preaching in there and saw my friends. Remember the funniest thing ever was when I walked up and said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I was going to ask you the same thing." And I preached to my friends who, before we'd done a bunch of bad things together, that's the difference Jesus makes. And my friends were in jail, and some of them spent a pretty good amount of time in jail. And I look back at all those things. The first time I stole something, I remember the first time I went to the store and stole something, I had a bad friend. He was a little bit older than me. Troublemaker. The guy was, he's a lifer now. This guy was a troublemaker, and he asked me to go steal him a pack of cigarettes. And I did, but I didn't know what a pack was, so I sold him a carton. And boy, he was a happy friend. And that started me, that's the first time I went and stole something out of a store. It was a bad friend. And the only once that I ever break into a house and do burglary, it was a friend. Talked me into it. Friends can have huge impacts on you. They can have huge impacts on you. But also today, I'm in church today and serving the Lord today and have a wonderful life in the Lord and I'm not in trouble anymore. And the whole reason is God used a friend of mine. I had a friend named Roman White who we were unsaved together and, by the way, got each other in trouble together. We ran from police together, me and my friend. And then he got saved and started serving the Lord and witnessed to his friends. And I became a Christian and I got saved. And boy, I was so rough and so messed up and had so many issues. And I was so such a disaster that he was having a hard time getting me to get up in the morning to go to church. And he, week after week, would pound on my window of my house because he knew I wouldn't come in the door. And he'd pound and pound until I finally woke up. And he'd wake me up and get me to come to church. And when I was messed up, when I struggled and have all my issues, he was there and stayed with me. And he was a friend and stuck with me and was there for me. And he's a pastor now in Vancouver, Washington, serving the Lord. You know what? I had a friend. I don't know if I would have made it for the Lord if I would. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have. If I wouldn't have had a right kind of friend. The right kind of friend. When your family is a bad influence on you, then you need to get some friends that are good influences. A friend is so vital. I just want to give you a few points on friendship. Is it stuffy in here? Okay. How many are always hot and are hot right now because you're always hot? Okay, that doesn't matter. All right. So good. I just wanted to know that. But I think we're okay. First of all, I want to say be a good friend. Be a good friend. Be a good friend. Proverbs 17:17 here says, "A friend loveth at all times." First of all, love people who get involved with you. I want to say this. You be a good friend to others, whether they're a good friend to you or not. Now, I want you to understand, a good friend, I'm going to define this very carefully throughout the message because you can really get messed up with this. I'm a friend to everybody I know. Everybody I meet, I'm their friend. They don't go to our church, fine, I'm their friend. If they aren't a Christian, I can be their friend. I try to be a friend to anybody who'll let me be a friend to them. That means I'm going to love them, I'm going to be kind to them, I'm going to try to help them. Not every one of them is my friend. They're not who I hang around. Somebody could be a terrible criminal, a bunch of bad things. He can be an addict. He can be in terrible, evil things that all of us would gasp at. I will be a friend to him, but I'm not hanging around him. But I will help him in ways he needs help. Now, part of that is I'm going to tell the truth to him. I'm going to try to lift him out of his life. I'm going to try to help. That's being a friend. I'm trying to help him. That's not who I'm going to hang around, though. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Love at all times. That you find people that when you become involved with somebody and you decide that they're going to be your friend, you love them through thick and thin, high and low, everything else. Because they're going to need it because they're human. All humans need some patience. They need some love at all times. All humans are going to need you to love. And by the way, you will find that those people in your life, you can do it to everybody. You can do it to all your friends. But I want to say, do not become bitter if you find out that most of your friends are not friends. You're going to find that out. I heard a preacher in his 80s say one time, he said, if you end up with two lifelong friends who are real friends, you're very fortunate. Amen. You're very fortunate. And that's a pretty shocking statement. And you don't really know who is saying they're your friend but isn't your friend yet. Time tells that. Your lows will tell you that. When you have nothing to give them will tell you that. When you got lots of things to give out and when you're doing great, you have more friends than you know what to do with. And the Bible says a rich man hath many friends, as the Bible says. The Bible talks about all these things in friendship. And love at all times. Don't you be like that. You love people and be there for them. I'll never forget the time when I went to jail. I wasn't going to jail for what I did. I was visiting someone in jail, and they were 17 years old, and I went and visited them and knew them. And when I went and visited them, they came to the glass, and we got on the phone, and they started weeping and said, "My family won't even come see me. You're the only person." And I thought, man, that's terrible. I tried for a year and a half to get the family to go visit them. Couldn't get the mom to go, couldn't get the dad to go, couldn't get the brothers to go. And I thought, wow, this is when he needs you the most. Yes, what he did was terrible. But a friend loves at all times. A friend loves. I'm glad God still loves me when I mess up. A friend loves at all times. Be a good friend. A friend also tells them if they're doing the wrong thing. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Be willing to speak the truth. Be willing to have your friend be angry at you more than them go do bad, foolish things and not tell them, not warn them. And don't get mad at people who love you enough to say, "I don't think you should do this. This is a mistake." Amen. Even if you don't agree, you shouldn't get mad at them. They love you enough to come try to help you. Don't get angry. You love them. And open rebuke is better than secret love. Be a friend by telling them the truth and do that. Then Proverbs chapter 27, we just read in verse 10, it says, "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not." Do not forsake your friends. Doesn't mean you can be with them all the time, but don't forsake them. Doesn't mean you can allow them into your house sometimes. I had that this week. I met with somebody this week, had a lot of appointments this week, and I said, "I'm glad I met them at church. I wouldn't want them in my house." That's not uncommon for me either. I meet with every kind. I meet with murderers, I meet with you name it, I meet with people. I God sends me needy people. And you know what? I'm not saying you go and you abandon people. I'm just saying you go out and you don't forsake them. In other words, they need you. That's what a good friend does. That's what a good friend does. Don't forsake your friends or your father's friends, it says. Next, Proverbs 11:19. Be a friend to needy people. Let me read Proverbs 11:19. Be a friend to needy people. I got the right verse written down here. Friend to needy people. That is not the right verse. Let me see if I can find it here. Nope, I don't have the right verse written down. A friend loveth at all times. There'll be a friend of needy people. Jesus, oh, it's Luke 19. It's Luke 11, 19. I wrote Proverbs. Luke 11, 19 says this, Jesus was called a friend of sinners. Ah, this is beautiful. Listen, we're a church. We believe in holiness. We believe in righteousness. We believe in living right. We believe in all these things. But I want to say, we want to be a church who's a friend for sinners. We want people to be able to come through that door. If they went out and were shooting up last night, hopefully didn't shoot up before they came in. If they walked the streets last night and was the lady of the night, we hope we're a friend to them. And we have that stuff. You know what? Jesus, they said, was a friend for sinners. And the Pharisees looked at Jesus and said, who are you hanging around? And they mocked him and said, he's a friend of sinners. And Jesus says, yeah, I'm a friend for sinners. Now, it's not who my disciples, the people are my companions. Companions is a stronger word. I'm hanging around them. But you know what? That woman, she had seven demons in her. And I'm a friend to her. I cast those demons out. And yes, you all looked down at her and criticized her, but I went and fixed her. I was a friend for her. Friends fix friends if they'll let them. Friends are friends for sinners. And Jesus said, I'm a friend for sinners. And Jesus took that name. A good friend is a friend for those who are in need. You say, but my friend, they're my friend, but they're being stupid. Friends will do that sometimes. It's called humanity. A lot of people do a lot of dumb things. And you know what? You don't join them in the stupidity. But you might call them and say, you know what? I know you're doing this now. You're better than that. I want you to know, if you want to get out of that and you want to stop that, I'm here for you. I love you still. But I'm not going to go with you to do that. That's a friend. Say, whenever you want to get back on your feet, just keep me. I want to be the first one you call. I'm here for you. I want to help you. And you're there and you find solutions. Sometimes a friend is a person who finds the person in need. Our people in church, you've learned, we find a way to help somebody. Somebody needs food, we find a way to help them. I have ready at any time a drug treatment center for people to get into for free. I have a whole bunch of things. I have programs. We find these things for people. We've found free medical things. We find this stuff. Why? Because when somebody has a need, we try to find the need and fill it. We're trying to be friends of sinners, friends of needy people. We're not just in this for what you can do for us. Biblical Christianity is not what can they do for me. That's worldly friendship. What can they do for me? So many people come into marriage. What can they do for me? How will they make me happy? You're going to find out you better get more than that in your marriage. You better want to make them happy. You better have some goals in mind. And I want to say, being a friend is being there when people need you. When they can't do anything for you. When it's Jesus died to save people because he's a friend. He wasn't thinking about what people could do for him. And if you think of friendship, yeah, I want a lot of friends. If you want a lot of friends so you can be popular, so you have a lot of friends, so you can call them when you need to get something from them. And boy, there's those people out there. There are people out there who everybody they meet, they're trying to figure out what they can get from them. Oh, that gets old. There's some people who need to be people who go out there and say, what can I do for people? How can I help people? And it's not always financial. Sometimes it's prayer. Sometimes it's wisdom. Sometimes it's a thousand different things. But be a real friend. Go out there and give some people who need friends. I think a good example of friendship in the Bible is David and Jonathan. Jonathan was a friend to David, and David couldn't do anything good for Jonathan. Jonathan came to David and said, David, my dad's going to kill you. Here's a way to escape. Saul came to Jonathan and said, we're going to kill David. And Jonathan says, you can't kill David. He didn't do anything wrong. And he stood up for David to his dad at risk of his own life. He gave David his royal robe as a king. See, Saul was king. Jonathan was next to be king. But God anointed David. And Jonathan said, David, you're going to be king. God ordained it. Here's my robe. Wear it. And when David was in danger, Jonathan helped him escape. And it said in 1 Samuel, I think it's verse, chapter 18, verse 1, it says a very beautiful phrase there. It says, Jonathan loved David as his own soul. See, that's a real friend. See, David could take things from Jonathan. He could take the whole monarchy from him. Yet Jonathan didn't care. He loved David and wanted good things for him. And he was a good example of being a friend to others in need. And when David's life was in danger, there was Jonathan to save it. Oh, and a couple times. What a great thing. Number one, I said be a good friend. Number two, as we talk about friendship, don't have the wrong friends. Proverbs 22. Verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. So there you go. Make no friendship with an angry man. That's what the Bible says. And don't go with him. James chapter 4, verse 4 says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. God is not for all friendships. Listen, folks. Evil companions drag you down. It makes you do things you said you'd never do. It puts thoughts in your minds. They act a certain way. They draw you toward them. And the Bible says, do not be friends with the wrong kind of people. Listen, real simple. Ask yourself, do I want to end up doing what they do? Do I want to be like them? That's who you decide who you're going to be. Now we're talking companion friendship, not just you being a friend to others, but a companion friendship. You better not make the wrong friends. There's a terrible, terrible story in the Bible, and it's a story of a man named Amnon. And Amnon was a man, and he had a very bad lust problem for a woman, and the woman he was forbidden to be with, and it was his stepsister. And Amnon was struggling with it, but then it said, but Amnon had a friend. By the time that friend talked him into how to get away with his evil thing, he had raped, incest, and not long before he's killed because he had a bad friend. I've heard some people say, well, my friends don't affect me. Peer pressure doesn't affect me. Sure. Listen, I'm a loner. I am an introvert. I do not long for companionship all the time. I can be alone and be just fine. But you know what? I'm a lot less tempted to cuss right now than if I went and hung around my old friends. It's because I'm home around. It's biblical. God says you don't want to be that. You will learn his ways, the Bible says. You don't want to have the wrong friends. Can I just tell you? But they're fun. They're really not a bad person. They just do this and this and this. You're justifying. Do you really want to end up like them? Do you know how many people do drugs who never hang around a person who do drugs? Almost none. Almost none. It is friendships that can make a good person do things. We say, what are you doing? Are you crazy? No, they're around the wrong friends. Every treatment program would tell you, you've got to change your friends if you're going to stay clean. You go hang around your old friends, you're going back to drinking. Why? Because they affect you. They don't twist your arm and force you to do anything. It's just what you do when you're with them. It's just kind of what they do. It's just comfort zone around that. Choose your friends carefully. Get godly Christian friends who you can sharpen. Iron sharpens iron. You get better with each other. And by the way, can I tell you, when bad people get together, people doing wrong things get together, they usually do more bad things than before. They help each other become bad. They get better at being bad. And bad friends, who you date, who you marry, who you hang around. Listen, do not be around the wrong friends. All the bad things that I mentioned that I started all started with bad friends. I almost, the closest I've come to dying, which has been a lot of different times, three different times I almost died were all three because of the same friend. Three different times. And you know why I was so dumb I kept hanging around the guy? And I'm not saying we were doing something together. He was the reason I almost died. First time we're walking across a set of train tracks, we're coming back from inner tubing in the river. We had a big giant inner tube both of us rode on. He was carrying it. We're on a big long bridge, and here comes the train flying. We start running across the bridge, and this train is coming fast and close. And we're running, and we're running, and he's carrying the inner tube, and he says, enough of this. And I'm behind him. He turns around and throws the inner tube at me and keeps running. Inner tube hits me, knocks me down on the tracks. He runs to the end of the bridge, jumps over the edge, and goes down. I'm running. Well, don't ask me why, but I picked up the inner tube and started running with the inner tube like a dummy. Ran, and I mean, that thing didn't miss me by this much. What do? Hang around the same dumb friend. By the way, that friend got me drinking too. But I was in fifth grade. Same friend. We're walking through a field. We see on the other side of the field two dogs running through the field. And they just look like wild dogs. And we said, look, the dogs look wild. And like they heard us. They looked at us. And off they came after us. We go running. We're running through this field. We get to a fence. And we're doing pretty good. I got plenty of time to make it, I think. I grab the post. It's a barbed wire fence. I grab the post, and there's another field on the other side, and we're going to run towards home. I grab the fence post, put my foot in the barbed wire, get ready to climb. He's behind me. He grabs me and throws me on the ground and climbs over the fence, leads me to the dogs. Dogs are right behind me. I dive over the fence. I just dove over the fence. My leg gets caught in the barbed wire, my pant leg. I start screaming, Brandon, I'm stuck. And here comes, you know, the dogs, you know, the killer and whatever their names were, you know. Cujo, there you go. And I dive over, and my pant leg's caught in the thing, and I'm screaming, and he's running for his life. Rip a pant leg, I see a stick on the ground. I start running, I look back, dogs jump over the fence. I turn around at the stick and go, good doggies. And the dogs are running right toward me. They ran right around me. Go after him. I said, sick him! No. But I said, they go chasing him. Luckily, he was far enough ahead where I would have been. He got to the houses, and there's people there, and they yelled the dogs ran away. That was just twice. I mean, the guy, bad friend. Fortunately, I got saved and became a Christian. One long after that, when I became a Christian, I found him one night, I mean, so high on something, he didn't know where he was. Doing heavy, hard drugs. Good thing was I wasn't around him anymore as a Christian. I was around godly people now. And he was in some overdose trouble. Bad friends. Thank God I wasn't on that path anymore hanging around him. Thank God that I got away from bad friends. Don't hang around the wrong crowd. Sometimes you have to say, you know what? This guy's going to hate me. They're going to make fun of me. But you know what? I don't care. I can't hang around her anymore. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Number three, first of all, be a good friend. Secondly, don't have the wrong friends. Thirdly, have the right friends. Proverbs 27, have the right friends. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. And have the right friend. I got one right friend changed my whole life. And I know God, it was God ultimately, but the Lord used one right friend. We began studying the Bible together. We started doing ministry together. We started winning souls together. We started making a difference together. We started praying together. And we sharpen each other. And we still do 25 years later. Still grow in the Lord and still do God's work together and still encourage each other. He'll be preaching to our men in our church at our men's retreat in November. And whenever we get together, it's sharpening each other. Have the right friends and seek for those. When you find someone who you want to end up being like, when you find someone who will stick with you through thick and thin, make a priority to be with them. Treat them as royalty and treat them kindly and love them and be with them. And when you have a little disagreement with them, don't make it a big deal because you have a friend and you're going to stick with them. And then last of all, I want to say about friendship, be friends with the Lord. John 15. How many of you, I'll be in John 15, how many of you thought somebody was your friend and all of a sudden one day you found out they weren't really your friend? Raise your hand. Almost all of us. I want to say this. Real importantly, don't let them not being a good friend ruin your life. Don't let it make you bitter. Don't dwell on it. don't try to get revenge. Just say, you know what? I'm glad I have at least one real friend. I want to say, I have a couple real friends. My wife is a real friend. Brother Roman, he mentioned, he's a real friend. But you know what? I've seen humanity long enough to know that humans have their days, even the best of them. You know who my most important friend that keeps me forever getting bitter is? The Lord Jesus Christ. See, all friends may fail me, foes assail me. But Jesus, hallelujah, what a Savior. He never, never fails you. He says in Hebrews 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I want to say this, if you can be focused on the goodness of God instead of focusing on the failure of a few people who are supposed to be there for you, you can have a pretty good life. But if you want to keep on dwelling on somebody and keep on thinking and being angry about it, listen, just count when they're there for you a bonus time. But enjoy the presence of God. They may mean well and not understand the situation. They may get sick and die. They may move away. They may have a hard time and they can't help you right now. I want to say this. And by the way, let me just say this for a second. Because somebody can't help you financially at the moment does not mean you need to not like them anymore. You're very shallow if that's you. Not everybody can help you every time. Sometimes you don't need help. Sometimes you need to suffer for what you did with your money. I want to say this. Sometimes people are saving for something and it's not your money. You have no right to it. You have no right to be angry at somebody who can't help you. Thank you. Got one. I need friends. The good thing is we got one real friend. And Jesus invites us to be friends with him. And I found times where I couldn't get into contact with my real friends. And by the way, I've been pretty blessed. I got a pretty good amount of good friends. I never asked for help from anybody. Never, 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 never. I had a situation where something was out of my control and I had to help somebody and it was just a crazy situation. And I had to call five people for this one situation. And they were so stunned that I called them, that all five of them bent over backwards. Boy, I'm blessed. But if all of them weren't there and all of them would have failed me, I wouldn't have held it against them. They have lives. They might have been doing something, a thousand other things. I want to say the biggest person I could talk to during any time is my friend in heaven. Who never changes, who never gets old, never runs out of resources, never gets fed up with me and zaps me and says, I'm done with you. He never leaves us. John 15, Jesus talks about the friendship. And John 15 and verse 13, he says this, greater hath love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. Lord says, I'm calling you my friends, not servants anymore. Now, I'm a servant of God. I want to call myself that. Paul called himself a servant of God. And we're his servants also. But God says, I'm going to call you my friends. But he says, not all Christians are really my friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, that doesn't save you. You get to heaven because Jesus was a friend and died on the cross for you. That's the only way to heaven. But to enter that personal, close friendship, the hanging around, the closeness. Now, God will never leave you. God is a God of love. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But it says we were his enemies. When we were in our sin. We were the enemies of God, the Bible says. One sin separates you from God. When Jesus came and died for that sin, you now have access to God, but not every one of us is a good friend to God. See, some people, if one bad thing's happened, they get bitter at God. One tragedy, they're not going to serve God anymore. See, God deserves a better friend than that. He gave his son for you. He gives you life and air and breath. He's not there as your genie to give you every single thing and work everything like you want it to work and think it should work. You're in a sin-cursed world where bad things happen. He said that. But he will be with you through everything you can go through. But he says, I want somebody to be my friend. be a friend of God, which never leaves God and sticks with God through thick and thin. Even when you say, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't agree. I don't think this should happen. You still are going to serve God because you're his friend. And a friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. Bible says in James 2:23, Abraham was called a friend of God. Exodus 33:11 says that Moses talked to God face to face as a man speaks to his friend. A friend of God. Listen, folks, when I became a Christian, I retained that one friend, and the rest of my friends thought I was crazy. And you know what? They wanted to keep partying, and I said, you know, I don't do that anymore. And they kind of went one way, and I went the other. We didn't hate each other. By the way, I have found those old friends. Some I met in jail. Some I found on Facebook. We didn't hate each other or anything else, but we went different directions in life. I kept one friend. I lost all my close friends except for that one friend, and he wasn't my best friend before that. He was just one of my friends. I lost my three best friends. You know what I learned to do? I learned to become friends with God. Because there was nobody else there who understood. Nobody else who was really, and I really learned that I have a Father in heaven who loves me, a personal God. And he says, ye are my friends. I call you not servants, I call you now friends. See, we need to be friends of God. Be friends of God. You know, the Lord is a real friend to you because he loved at all times. I want you to get that, it's real importantly. See, when you didn't know anything about God, when you were in your sin, and maybe you've never been born again. If you've never been born again, understand, the Bible says you're the enemy of God. Your sin has separated you from God. And good works and going to church and being a good person can't make you right with God. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it shall die. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us can do enough good to remove our sin to make God say, okay, we're friends again. Jesus came and died on the cross to remove our sins, to be friends with us. He did that while we were sinners. In all you've ever done, everything you've ever done wrong in your life, he looked at you and said, I love you anyway. Let me be a friend to you. Let me suffer and pay the price for your sins. So Jesus took all of our sins on him, suffered for them on the cross, was buried. 3 days later, rose back to life, arose from the dead to show that he was the Son of God. He did that because he was being a friend to you, even if you didn't know if he existed. He did it 2,000 years ago before we were ever born. And God loved me with all my sin. And he loved me anyway, and he died for it. And now I'm going to heaven, not because I'm good, I'm not, I'm still not perfect. I'm going to heaven because a friend died for my sins, and I'm asking him to save me, because Jesus is the way to heaven, and there's no other way. See, you want to be a friend of God, you need to realize he was a friend to you first, and he died for your sins, and you need to come and say, Lord, I've sinned. And I can't be good enough to go to heaven. I need Jesus to save me. I believe he died on the cross. He's my way to heaven. I believe he rose from the dead. Right when you do that, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's a free gift. You don't pay anything for it. You don't join the church. You don't get baptized. You don't live a good life. You don't pay anything for eternal life. Jesus paid it on the cross. You just accept the gift. Did that when I was 16. He came in, changed my life, and been my best friend ever since. And you need that friend in this life. The anchor for your soul, your personal best friend, and God is a personal God who wants to be close to you. A friend for sinners. Today, the greatest thing you can do is yes, be a good friend, and don't be with the wrong friends, and have the right friends. And that's all important, but I want to say, be a friend with God. Abraham was called the friend of God. Make the Lord your best friend. You'll never be disappointed by him. He's never going to die and leave you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's the best friend you can have, but you got to receive him to be his friend. You got to say, Lord, I need Jesus to save me in order to be his friend. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for friendship. Thank you for friend days. We celebrate friendship. Lord, I pray today that anybody here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their friend and Savior, I pray they come to know him today. I pray they personally trust Jesus as Savior and make you their friend today and realize that you're the way to heaven, that you love them, and you are a friend of them by dying for them before they ever earned it. Before I ever deserved anything, Lord, you already loved me. even in my sin. Thank you for your friendship, the real kind of friendship. Help us, Lord, to do that and trust you. Help others and to get rid of some bad friends. Help others to cling to good friends. Help others of us to be the right kind of friend that we need to be. We just pray we do these things with friendship that we ought to do in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's looking, just for a moment here. I want to just